Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all as we gather together on this beautiful Sunday morning, this second Sunday in Advent, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're glad that you are all able to be here this morning. If there are any who are visiting with us, we are also glad that you are here, and we would ask that you take the time to fill out the little card in the front of your pews and place it in the offering basket when it comes around, so that we'll have the opportunity to know that you were visiting with us this day. Just have a couple of announcements I'd like to share with you. Just a reminder for those who are on the worship committee, we'll have a brief worship committee meeting after service this morning. We'll meet in the office, so please make sure that you are around for that. Also, would just like to remind everyone that on the 12th, that is next Sunday, we'll be having our congregational meeting. So please mark that down and plan to be with us for that. Our annual congregational meeting will be next Sunday after worship service. There are other things, of course, that are going on here at Albany Presbyterian Church and will be going on as we continue to move into the new church year. Please make sure that you not only read your bulletin thoroughly, but also go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of everything that is happening here at Albany Presbyterian Church.
This morning's gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, which can be found on page 890 of your pew Bibles. And for those reading along in the bulletin, it will be the fourth scripture reading listed. And that will be our only reading this morning. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Did you all catch that? In the reading this morning, it says the word of the Lord came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. The word of the Lord bypassed all the usual precincts of power, all the usual precincts of influence, and it came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. A colleague of mine this week reminded me of the opening scene in the movie Forrest Gump. You might remember that. There was a little white feather that comes floating down from the sky, floating past various places and people before coming to rest at the feet of an unassuming looking Forrest Gump as he waits on the bench at the bus stop. And I can just imagine the word of the Lord coming down the same way, cascading gently down from heaven, wafting past all the important places, all the powerful people, before finally being blown out to the wilderness where it comes to rest on the enigmatic figure of John the Baptist. John, of course, is not a powerful ruling functionary like Pilate or Herod. He's not even an influential religious leader like Annas and Caiaphas. He is just a plain, ordinary person. But we are told that that's who the word of the Lord has come to this morning. It has come to John the Baptist in the wilderness. I know that God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are different from our own. But if I were the Lord and I wanted to get a word out, I would perhaps send it a little closer to the centers of power. Perhaps I would drop a tweet to the commander-in-chief. Maybe I would relay it during a power breakfast on Capitol Hill, or maybe I would send a direct word of inspiration to one of the mega pulpits in the land. I would think that that would be a far more effective way to get the word out than to send it to a broken down prophet way out there in the hinterlands. But of course, this story is not my story. This is God's story. And indeed, God has God's own ways of doing things. And God sends his word, God's word, out to the wilderness. Have you ever noticed how we are constantly trying to align God's word with power, with political power, with authority? We are constantly trying to align God's words with the people and the places that we think have authority. The problem is that God seems to have suspicion for those in positions of power. God seems not to be totally trusting of the Herods and the Pilates and the Caesars of the world. God usually doesn't choose the insiders, but God seems to have a predilection for the outsiders. God chooses shepherds out in the field. God chooses a poor teenage girl. God chooses a broken down prophet like John the Baptist, who is way out there in the wilderness. God seems to be suspicious of power. Maybe it's because if you have power, if you have health, if you have wealth, maybe it's difficult to hear God's word. Or maybe if you can hear God's word, it's difficult to heed God's word. Or maybe if you have all of those things, you might be tempted to exercise God-like power yourself. But for whatever reason, we are told that the word of the Lord bypasses all of the power places and people and goes down into the wilderness together at the feet of John the Baptist. Every year, John has the arduous task of trying to get us ready. He has the task of trying to prepare us. I know that most of you are already in readiness mode. Most of you are already getting prepared. You're stringing lights, you're putting up trees, you're buying presents, making plans to be with family and friends. You're all getting ready for Christmas. That's a good thing. But John has the arduous task of getting us ready for salvation. He's trying to get us ready for the coming of the Lord. And so John's message every Advent is pretty much the same. His message is repent. I know that word is laden with all kinds of negative connotations. It conjures up feelings of shame and guilt. And I'm sure we probably have a lot to be ashamed of, both individually and collectively as a nation. There's all kinds of things that we should be ashamed of. But the call to repent is not about feeling bad. It's not about feeling guilty. It's not about being ashamed. In fact, repentance is good news. It should be good news. Repentance is about turning around. It's about reorienting oneself. That's what the word repentance means, to turn around, to reorient yourself. And that's good news. When you're lost, what you need to hear, what you need to do is to turn around. You're going in the wrong direction. Turn around. That's good news. I remember 35 years ago when I was leaving Missouri, driving from my hometown in Missouri to Atlanta, Georgia, and instead of doing what most sane people do and take the interstate, I was looking at a map and looking at what I thought was the most direct way to Atlanta from Missouri, and so I took this little highway, two-lane highway, and things were going pretty good. You know, I went through Arkansas, went through Louisiana, came through Mississippi and was then in Alabama, and then for some strange reason I was back in Mississippi again. And I tried to stay on the course that I thought I was supposed to be on, but I was getting scared or more and more fearful being lost in Mississippi. But finally, I decided to ask someone. I saw a family, nice little family. They was dressed up, looked like they were just coming from church. And so I dared to ask them, told them where I was trying to go. And they pointed me in the right direction, said I was going the wrong way. And I admit feeling just a little bit of shame, a little bit of embarrassment, but for the most part, I was delighted. For the most part, I was happy. It was good news. They had helped to put me on the right track, helped to put me in the right direction. And that's what John the Baptist is doing this morning. He is telling us to turn around. He is telling us to reorient ourselves. He is telling us to get on the right track. Repent. And so that's what John is doing. He's calling us all back out to the wilderness. Turn around, he says. Turn around and get back out to the wilderness. Repent. But I often wonder, why the wilderness? Why is the word of the Lord, why does it first come to the wilderness, all the places that the word of the Lord could go? Why the wilderness? Well, perhaps we shouldn't be surprised that the word of the Lord would come to the wilderness, because God's people have always been a wilderness people. The wilderness has always been a place of humility, always a place of vulnerability. It's always been a place of radical trust in God. The wilderness was the place where God's people had to wander for 40 years after being liberated from slavery. It was the place where God's people had to learn to trust completely in God for everything, for food, for water, for guidance. The wilderness was the place where they had to wander to get the Egypt out of them. They had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, and they had to get the Egypt out of them. And so the wilderness was the place where they had to get the Egypt out of them and learn to trust in God. As one commentator put it, the wilderness was the place where there's no safety net, no plan B, no fallback option. In the wilderness, life is raw and risky, and our illusions of self-sufficiency falls apart fast. The fact of the matter is that God's people have always been a wilderness people. They've never been the movers and the shakers at the center of things. They've always been the enslaved the exile, the dispossessed, the barren, the people without a future. If you read the Bible, it's all about wilderness kind of people. And yet the word of the Lord, the word of salvation, comes to them. And it's true today too. The word of the Lord comes to the wilderness people of our day. It comes to the broken. It comes to the depressed. It comes to the elderly. It comes to the sick. It comes to those who believe they have no future. It comes to those who are suffering all kinds of illnesses. It comes to refugees who have no place to go. It comes to the poor. The word of the Lord comes to all the wilderness kinds people. I suspect that most of us will find our time in the wilderness one way or another at some point in our lives. I've noticed that more and more congregations are observing what's called a blue Christmas. A blue Christmas is an acknowledgement of the pain and the grief and the sadness, the loss that often accompanies this time of year for many people. This is, of course, a time of year for light. It's a time of year for joviality, for cheer, for caroling, for all kinds of wonderful things. But you know as well as I do that pain and grief and loss don't take holidays. Usually during this period, the sense of isolation and grief and loss can be all the more painful, because people feel isolated with all the good cheer around. But of course, we are reminded this morning that the Lord's word comes to people who are experiencing the wilderness. Comes for all of those who are in the wilderness. I know that there are people who will be experiencing their first Christmas season without someone that they love, someone who's been there in the past. They'll be experiencing this season without them. Maybe because that person has died and there's been a lot of death in the midst of this pandemic, or maybe because a relationship has broken for whatever reason, they will not have that person with them. And it is for them a wilderness experience. There are people who are undergoing all kinds of difficult situations, circumstances, sickness, disease. And it is for them a wilderness experience. I couldn't help but to think of the families this morning who lost loved ones in that shooting in Michigan. Families who just a few days ago were celebrating Thanksgiving and giving thanks, and now have suffered the terrible loss of loved ones in a shooting. And this time of year will forever be marked with grief and loss, and they are going through a wilderness experience. can't help but to think of the young man who did that shooting, just a teenager. He probably doesn't even know what he's done, probably hasn't even processed that. A troubled young man. And this season, too, will mark him forever. It will be a season of wilderness, a season of grief for what he's done. And, of course, I couldn't help but think of his parents, whose gross negligence led to their complicity in his terrible act of violence. A complicity that perhaps we all share as a country because of our love of guns and weapons. But they too are experiencing their own wilderness this morning. The fact of the matter is that every hospital waiting room, every ICU ward, every jail cell, every dire diagnosis, it's all a wilderness for somebody. Part of the wilderness that we experience. But the good news this morning is that Advent is for all of you who are experiencing wilderness. Advent is for all of you. Advent is for all of us. Advent is for all of those who feel grief, all of those who are vulnerable, all of those who are frightened, all of those who are uncertain about the future. Advent is for all of us, because that's where the word of the Lord comes. The word of the Lord comes to the wilderness. God's word of love, God's word of salvation, God's word of care, God's word comes for all of us who find ourselves in the wilderness. And that's good news. That's the good news for all of us, that God has not abandoned us, that God has not left you alone, that God comes to all of us in our wilderness moments to hold us, to assure us that there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from his love. Friends, on this second Sunday in Advent, may we take that good news deep down inside of all of our hearts. May we hear this morning that the wilderness is not the last word, because the last word belongs to a God who loves us more than we can even begin to imagine. And that word has undertaken to come in our midst so that we might all find salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this season where we light candles in the darkness, we ask that you be with all of us now. Help us to hear the stunning good news that your incarnated word comes to us. Not when we're powerful, not when things are going good, not when we have everything under control, not when we're healthy, not when we don't have any worries, but your incarnated word comes to us especially when we are frightened, when we're uncertain, when we're in the wilderness. Help us, Lord, to hear your word. Help us to put our faith and trust in you. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.